Let us pray. Dear Lord, bless us with discomfort. Bless us with anger. Bless us with tears. Bless us with foolishness. Amen. Mark structures the second half of this first chapter as a typical Sabbath day in the life of Jesus. Following the announcement of the gospel, the ministry of John the Baptist, the baptism of Jesus, the temptations in the wilderness, the arrest of John, the beginning of Jesus' proclamation of the gospel in Galilee, and the calling of the first four disciples, all of which happens in a whirlwind of 20 verses. We're told that Jesus headed for Capernaum. We might just pause for a moment and appreciate the situation of Simon Peter and his companions. As healing accounts in the Bible go, Jesus is healing Simon's mother-in-law of a fever appears minor, because it does not come close to the healings we know that are about to come. This one is really no contest. The healing of the unnamed mother-in-law of an unnamed fever. It just can't compete with the mass aha moments in Jesus' awesome ministry, with miracles that proclaim his authority over our lives, over disease, over death. Yet for good reason, we look at this little healing in Mark's gospel this morning for God's message to us. When Jesus heard about the sickness, he took the initiative, approached her, laid his hands upon her, and the fever left her. This is the first healing reported in Mark's gospel, and it certainly gives us a wonderful example of how important it is to care for our elders. Now, why would Jesus spend his time and power on something as routine as a fever? And after all, it was a woman who was ill in a culture that didn't put women on the same level as men. Women of honorable families were expected to protect their modesty, and for a male outsider to touch her violated all conventional behavior. It just wasn't done. But the simple touch of his hand cured her fever and enabled her to serve. As a woman who came into her own in the 70s, this text caused me to pause initially, and maybe it has had the same effect on you. But Jesus has done a beautiful thing for this woman. Before he healed her, she was unable to fulfill her role of preparing and serving a meal to expected guests. This honor and privilege was hers as a senior woman in the household. Jesus not only restores her health, but her life as well, and empowers her to be a functional part of the family. In gratitude, she serves the meal she has lovingly prepared. Service. It is the primary motive for giving ourselves to the Church of Christ and the Kingdom of God. The reaction to who he is puts us in Christ's church, and it also puts Christ's church in us. It gives us a different set of values. It makes us want to be servants. The touch of the hand of Christ upon us gives us a different understanding of our own hands. Hands which could be used for taking become hands for giving. Hands which could be used for hoarding become hands for sharing. Hands which could be used for holding down become hands for lifting up. Helen Keller once said, "Although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of overcoming it." Ironically, it is in our overcoming of the suffering of this life that we learn to be true servants. Without the difficult experiences of life, we remain shallow and lacking in sensitivity to others. We remain just as we are. But the scripture teaches us to be servants. This is the example that Christ gave us, and it is our call to serve God by serving others, by reaching out to touch and to serve them. This is the example God gave us. Yet the concept of servanthood is lost on many of us. Simon's mother-in-law is in bed with a fever. He came and he took her by the hand and lovingly he lifted her up. According to a popular TV doctor, love plays a big part in the healing of a hurting body. Mark's account teaches us how powerful love is. We learn that love has the power to heal people, that love can cure and restore, can mend and make us whole. And when we are truly made whole, we want to pass that love on to others. Such is the power of love. Let me show you what I mean. The poet Elizabeth Barrett was an invalid for many years, unable to even lift her head from her pillow. But then one day she was visited by a man named Robert Browning. It was love at first sight. In just one visit, he brought her so much joy and happiness that she lifted her head. On the second visit, she sat up in bed. On the third visit, they eloped. Love can heal us physically. Scripture tells us that people were healed and simply by coming into the physical contact of Jesus. On one of my visits to a nursing home, I walked into what is called the day area, a room where frail men and women slept in their wheelchairs most afternoons as a midday TV game host blared through the room. A few seemed to be awake while gazing out of the window, unfocused on anything in particular. They all seemed forgotten, isolated, shut out, dejected, unwanted, and alone. On this particular day, there was a surprising twist. Someone had brought into the room a frisky puppy. Apparently, no one had given him the ground rules. Do not touch. Do not disturb the residents. But healing began to happen right before my eyes. As this little guy ran around the room, he licked hands. He jumped into laps. He nuzzled his nose right into their arms. He literally brought them back to life. And I believe that afternoon, I witnessed a healing taking place in that nursing home. Now, no one jumped out of their wheelchairs or danced around the room, but light and life came back into their eyes. Eyes that had been closed and limbs were restored that had been limp. I believe we all experienced a momentary miracle that day, a healing and restoration of a community. Because they had been touched by this energetic expression of love. For that brief moment, they felt wanted and adored, and it was brought to them through this little dog. Mother Teresa wrote, "In these days of work amongst the people, I have come more and more to realize that being unwanted is the worst disease that any human being can know." Think about that. Being unwanted is the worst human disease a person can know. "Nowadays," she said, "we have found medicine for leprosy and lepers can be cured. There's medicine for TB and consumptives can be healed. For all kinds of diseases, there are medicines and cures. But for being unwanted, except there are willing hands to serve and loving hearts to love, I don't think this terrible disease will ever be cured." Jesus was love incarnate. And that's what he's calling us to be today. Love in the flesh, love personified, love lived out. Agnes Sanford, the unparalleled teacher on the church's ministry of healing, asserts that we mistakenly believe that God is too global to act locally, that God is too big and we are too small. Why on earth should God care about me when millions suffer the devastating ravages of Mother Nature? Or when cancer affects nearly every family we know? Why should God be concerned with the nitty-gritty details of our daily existence as meteor showers of global concern pelt the planet each and every day? We are called to bring all of our needs to the altar and leave them there. This story tells us, whatever is of concern to us is of concern to God. So Jesus and the first four apostles who were called returned from an eventful Sunday at church in Capernaum. They found a mature woman unable to get out of bed, more than likely frustrated because her guests had arrived and she was unable to wait on them. And what was her response after being healed? She models for us the discipleship of lowly service, a model to which Jesus will repeatedly call his followers throughout the gospel and which he embodies in his own service. He validates her. He empowers her. He enables her. We've all seen folks like her, people who simply do what needs to be done without fanfare. This was a day of unexpected miracles. No one expected to see the demonic in the synagogue. I'm not sure why not. And no one expected Jesus to heal her of her fever. Again, Jesus turns things upside down and inside out for us. I believe in God's heart, no one should suffer 1 minute longer than he or she has to. In whatever way we suffer that is a concern to us, it is also a concern to God. The healing of this woman tells us an important insight about the heart of God, that healing is not simply of personal benefit, but it is for the well-being of the entire community. A healthy community is one where everyone is respected and valued, young and old, male and female, rich and poor, people of every hue. We can recall several other women who during Jesus' ministry modeled discipleship. The poor woman who gave more than the rich, the woman with the alabaster jar of ointment, the faithful women at the cross, and the women at the tomb. The Apostle Paul tells us, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Healing and wholeness, the Christian enterprise, are inseparable from service, inside and outside the walls of the church. Well, good news travels fast, because the word was on the streets of Capernaum. The demonic had been cured, Simon's mother-in-law was cured, and they were not only restored to community, but now were seen in a new light by those around them as valued and respected and appreciated. Others came after that to Simon's home who were sick and possessed with demons, and the whole city gathered around the door. And Jesus cured many. As men and women of the church today, it is important to remind ourselves that mainline churches became mainline churches because men and women who first experienced Jesus dared to love people, and they converted others. This led them to build hospitals and orphanages and colleges and all kinds of institutions. They spread the gospel through courageous, uplifting deeds that stemmed from their faith in the living Lord and spoke to what was happening in the culture around them. We dare not allow this tradition to become only a conversation about church growth strategies. We cannot allow ourselves to be more and more isolated in smaller circles of influence for the sake of theological discussions. Let us dare to become the church on Nebraska Avenue with the heart of Christ, known for its diversity, known for its opportunities to men and women, known for its care of those inside the walls of this beautiful sanctuary, and known for its caring heart which extends beyond Friendship Heights or Georgetown across the river to Southeast and beyond. Vital ministry churches have to be involved in the care of the most broken people. We cannot allow the church to become foreign to the culture. So as far as healing goes, this healing may seem one as tiny as a mustard seed. No mountain-moving experience, but an older woman's fever is broken. And she is returned to community and ministry and given the honor to serve Jesus Christ and his disciples. What's interesting about this Greek word that Mark uses to describe the mother-in-law's service is that it is the root word for deacon. This word can also be translated as ministry or service. It's the same word Mark uses to speak of the angels who ministered to Jesus after his temptations in the wilderness. And the angels served him. This story ends with Jesus. While it was still very dark, he retreated to a deserted place. Even though every sick person and ill child with his parents were waiting for Dr. Jesus, MD, to reopen for business. At intense times like these, Jesus needed rest and guidance. Jesus made sure he had desert time. So he shut things down to have time in a quiet place, to wait in silence for God alone and for God's word and direction for him. The message in this healing experience tells us what is important to us is important to God. Should we pray for God to heal a hangnail, to request a parking spot close to the mall, a tummy tuck, or a win by our favorite team? Healing prayer should not be trivialized in such ways. Healing is for service, not simply for personal satisfaction, but for the good of the community. Simon's mother-in-law immediately gets up and fixes the boys a big lunch because individual gifts from God are for the benefit of everyone. In solitude, Mark tells us Jesus prayed, almost as if to respect the intimacy of that time Jesus spent with God the Father. Mark tells us nothing about it, but shifts our attention away from Jesus and his prayer to Simon and his companions, who were tracking Jesus down in a hurry before the crowds get there with their many needs and demands. Oh, that we should be so persistent. The disciples of Jesus hunted for him. The Greek word which was used here, hunted, has a connotation of tracking him down. The way someone might track an escaped prisoner with dogs. Jesus had gotten away from them. They woke up that morning and he wasn't there, and they had to find him. When they do, something has changed in Jesus. Something has happened in that interval of praying and talking and listening and waiting for God in silence. Something that has shown Jesus what the next steps for him are and his ministry. And it isn't more of the same thing in the same place, in the same way. It doesn't seem to matter to Jesus that he's been enormously successful already in Capernaum, that he's driving the crowd wild, that his ratings have gone up dramatically. It also doesn't seem to matter to Jesus that his co-workers and colleagues are ready to ride that tide of success. In reflection and prayer, we can, like Jesus, hear God's voice directing our destiny in order to discern how to become the person, the family, the church God wants us to be. Jesus could have been trapped in the success of the day. It's so easy to get caught up in the attaboys and attagirls, only to end up ignoring the true direction of God for our lives. Jesus is concerned for our health. Our complete health. He wants us to experience healing. First to the degree it is possible in this life, and then completely in the life to come. And he wants us to become his agents in the healing of those around us. A healing that can happen only through caring and service to one another. Service to others breaks the chains that enslave us in our hurts and resentments. But it takes feet ready to move in the direction the Spirit leads us. It takes hands willing to carry burdens. It takes loving hearts filled with compassion. This is the healing Jesus brings through you and me. When we who have been healed find ways to touch the lives of others in his name. Let us pray. Oh God, bless us with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, superficial relationships, so that we may live deep within your heart. Oh God, bless us with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that we may work for justice, freedom, and peace. Oh God, bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. We humbly ask these things in the name of him who came to heal and serve. May God bless you and me with enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in this world, so that we can do what others claim cannot be done. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.